Good morning. I'm Queenie Kim, and this is the California Report. Closing arguments continue today in the gender discrimination trial of Ellen Powell versus Kleiner, Perkins, Caulfield, and Byers. The case has riveted Silicon Valley for the last month. Kleiner Perkins is one of the Valley's storied venture capital firms. It invests in tech startups. One of its many successes was Google. Ellen Powell is the CEO of the popular website Reddit and a former VC at Kleiner Perkins before she got axed. Powell is claiming that sexism held her back when getting promotions and pay raises. I asked Nellie Bowles, a contributor to the online tech site Recode, to start by telling me Powell's side of the story.
Ellen Powell isn't alleging sexual harassment. She's alleging gender discrimination. So what she's saying is that through many very subtle ways, she was kept out of the prime investing positions. And some of those ways are seemingly small. Like there was an all-male ski trip that one of the partners, Chihua Chan, organized. And Dave Morin, an entrepreneur, emailed him and said, hey, can I bring a female founder with me? And Chihua Chan said, no, hey, let's punt on the gals for now and keep it all guys. And this was a Kleiner Perkins ski trip. He on the stand said that actually she wasn't on the emails, but he had invited Mary Meeker. So I don't know. You know, it's a he said, she said. But we definitely have an email of him saying, let's punt on the gals, which is a subtle way of keeping women out of the social mix. And the social mix at Kleiner Perkins matters a lot because you kind of get promoted through this really fuzzy process. And a lot of it is through the term of someone who demonstrates thought leadership. And so what does that mean? It turns out that kind of just means like someone that the senior partners like. So the ski trip matters.
You know, one thing that does come to light, they didn't have a corporate HR structure.
No.
Things that we're all sort of accustomed to, sexual harassment training.
Yeah. I think that's been the most shocking part of it is there was no real HR. There was no one to go to. So when Ellen started having problems at the firm, she sort of reached out to people, but the response was varied and some people just didn't respond. And it seems like it was sort of the Wild West in terms of dealing with discrimination or dealing with uncomfortable workplace situations. They didn't have HR policies. And that's a point of contention. Kleiner Perkins says that they had just lost their HR policy, had misplaced it. Then I think one thing we're going to see as a result of this case, whether Ellen wins or loses, I mean, ideally, is venture firms developing HR policies just like normal big companies.
Well, that's interesting that you say that because I was going to ask you that question if it's going to change the VC world. And I was actually thinking about that story you all did about this sort of weird meme come out of this trial.
The meme. Okay. So you hear it. You hear it whispered around. And what it is people say, well, now no one's going to hire women VCs. No one's going to want to hire women because they're litigious.
Yeah, but at the same time, there have been these reports that tech companies have been contacting consultants to help them create a more female-friendly environment. So how does this meme fit into that narrative?
I think it illustrates the tension here, and I think it illustrates the complexity of how Silicon Valley deals with gender issues and with any human rights issues. Silicon Valley likes to think of itself as a very progressive, a very forward-thinking place. And the idea that there's sexism or racism, it's really difficult for powerful people here to deal with. And so, yeah, I think that both that meme that we talked about will be whispered and they'll start bulking up. It just shows how complicated the issue is.
Nellie Bowles is a contributor to the online tech site Recode. In September, 43 students from a teacher training school in southern Mexico were disappeared. Mexican authorities have said they found the charred remains of the students, but without conclusive DNA matches, family and friends are holding out hope. The story touched a nerve with many Mexican Americans here in California. Now, some classmates and family members of those 43 students are traveling across the U.S. to appeal for help. Reporter Brooke Binkowski caught up with them in San Diego.
The school the students attended was in Ayotzinapa, and Ayotzinapa is now shorthand for police and state violence within Mexico. Ángel Neri de la Cruz Ayala is a 19-year-old student at the teacher training school. He was part of the student demonstrations in September when police opened fire on their buses, killing six people. 43 of his classmates were then detained and forced into vans at gunpoint. They've been missing since. He, like the rest of the people he travels with, believes they're still alive.
para invitar a la gente de Estados Unidos.
He says he's here now to invite the United States to help pressure the Mexican government so they don't forget about his missing classmates. This disappearance has touched a nerve with Mexicans here and abroad because students like De La Cruz took to social media to get their message out. Believing the press in their country is corrupt, they've also been reaching out to foreign journalists. And it's working. Marco Amaral is Mexican-American and part of the volunteer group helping the caravan while they're in San Diego.
When September 26th happened, it honestly felt, not just for me, but for millions and millions of other people, that it was just, it was the straw that broke the camel's back.
He says Ayotzinapa has finally gotten Americans to pay attention to what's going on in Mexico, and he hopes this caravan will keep them focused on it. For the California Report, I'm Brooke Binkowski in San Diego.
And finally, we're getting one small, tiny step closer to the Hyperloop. That's the futuristic transportation system that's supposed to take you from San Francisco to LA in 30 minutes. It was dreamed up by Tesla founder Elon Musk, and really simply put, you'd enter a tube that would glide atop a track at lightning speed. The LA Times is reporting that Hyperloop Technologies, Inc., which picked up on Musk's idea, is renting a warehouse in downtown LA and hiring workers. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, March 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Queenie Kim. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation. Ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. Barracuda Networks, innovators of network security and data protection solutions designed to thwart cyber threats and data loss for businesses of all sizes. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.